Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our central campus.
There you go. Right there. That's it. All right, we'd like to welcome you to the, St. Luke's United Methodist Church. St. Luke's Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here. I've done this for so many years, it's hard to change things. So my name is Pastor Gary, and I'm here to serve us this morning and to lead us in worship. And just a few announcements, if you'll turn your eyes to the screen, that we need to let you be aware of. Don't forget, this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And out at the Way, we're going to have ashes out there at 7 a.m. At 5805 98th Street. And then here at St. Luke's at 12 and at 5, Andy and the folks will be here. I'll be out at the Way as we have come and go. We just want to encourage you to come by and do that and receive the ashes. Also, you should have got an email from DeLee talking about fasting one day a week. Whatever that looks like for you, maybe you're going to fast from watching Netflix, or you're going to fast from some kind of food or something like that. But we're trying to do that as a whole congregation and encourage everyone during the Lenten season to do some fasting. Also, today, if you have a chance, make your way over to the sanctuary before they put all the carpet and everything down, and you can write your favorite scripture. DeLee, I think, is over there now, or has been, and so if you have not done that, be sure and do that, because I got a feeling the carpet's coming pretty soon. It's going to cover everything up, so be sure and do that. And are there other announcements? Is there one more? This part? Be sure and fill out your yellow card. This is also our prayer card. If you have prayer requests, be sure and write those on there and put all your information so we know that you're here with us. And then if you have any kind of requests, be sure and write those on there as well, because we'll be praying for you even today as they lift everyone up in prayer. So would you bow your heads as we pray? Eternal God, as we come into your presence this morning, maybe we come with a little bit of hurt, with a little bit of pain, but may we also be reminded that you're pouring out your love. You're pouring out this love like the sacred rain, and that love supersedes all things. Father, remind us that no matter who we are, where we are, that you love us, and you love us dearly, and that you call us to be the church and to love the world around us. May we come into your presence as we come to worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I didn't know. I brought my tools this morning because I heard we was having a work day, but then I realized I was the only one that brought my tools. Nobody else brought theirs, but I brought mine. And you can borrow some of mine if you need to. I've got a few extra. So my name is Gary Bowles, and I'm going to fill the pulpit a little bit this morning. And so Andy is out at the Way. And we're finishing up the month of February here in March with our series on love. We're going to finish up this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse number 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When completeness comes, what is in part disappears. The reading of God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I remember as a young boy living in the north side of Houston. I lived there until I was about 25, and I moved from Houston up to the Panhandle in 1987 and have lived here since that time. I retired a month or so ago, and Andy called me to come and fill in some, and so my wife and I live out in South Lubbock now. But I remember as a young boy, there was a lady and her husband next door to us. It was Daisy, and his name was Pawpaw. And we had one of those relationships where you went through the hedges anytime you needed something. Cup of sugar, maybe I'm making chocolate chip cookies and I ran out of the chocolate chips. Daisy always had something extra. And so we would make this path back and forth We were latchkey kids before there was ever a latch. My parents both worked, and my brother and sisters and I, we all pretty much were home by ourselves most of the time. And most of the stories I tell you are very true because we lived it. But we're making our way back and forth between Daisy and I. But I remember on one occasion where she began to talk to me about God and talk to me about what it means about God's incredible love and how much God loved me. It's really one of the first times that I kind of remember about love. And I also remember a time where my grandmother, Grandma Bowles, she loved to read, and she would read the Bible a lot of times to us. And she said, "I want to teach you some of the Bible." And she began to like teach us to try to memorize it. And she said, "I know you can memorize this. It's the shortest verse in all of the Bible. God is love." I did it. I still remember it. I thought I might have forgotten it by now. But we get to this place here today where we're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. Looking at these three verses, and I've got 5 points for you this morning. But before I do that, I want to just remind you of where we are coming from, where the scripture was written at. This is Corinth. This is the Isthmus of Corinth. Paul lived in this area and wrote this scripture. I believe it was on his third missionary journey. And while he was there, this was a community of around 90,000 people, some thousand folks who were slaves, and they lived in this area. And this is where Paul came and where he lived and where he wrote the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They're really not books. They're called occasional letters. All of Paul's writings were called occasional letters. In other words, something was happening, and he wrote a letter. And, you know, you've done that before. I know our next generation of folks typically don't write letters, do they? But we wrote letters. I mean, I remember writing Julie letters years ago. You know, there's nothing like going to the mailbox and opening up a letter from somebody that's been handwritten, you know. You don't miss a word, do you? And so Paul wrote these letters to these folks. And that's where we find he's living and writing in this particular area. This is only a 4-mile stretch across here. I believe it was in the late 1800s, they finally dug the canal all the way across, kind of like the Panama Canal. But until then and before then, they basically just had a concrete road from one side to the other, and they laid down logs, and they brought the ship up out of the water, onto the concrete, onto the logs, and they rode it from one side to the other, 4 miles, and then moved the ship to the other side. That's a big task, some 2 or 3 weeks to move one ship from one side to the other. But that's where we find Paul writing this letter, this very dense populated area. Next picture, just to give you another idea. That particular picture is right here. This is Israel, where Jerusalem and Israel, the Gaza Strip down here. And as Paul made his way on his missionary journeys, he always began in Jerusalem and worked his way this direction. This is all Greek-speaking area, and so that's why the New Testament is written in Greek, because that's the folks he was writing to. And on his third, I believe it was his third missionary journey, he makes his way over to Athens and then over to Corinth. And that's where this particular letter was written. This morning I'm going to cover 5 topics. So everybody, you got 5 fingers on your hand, hopefully. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll go through them real quickly. So we're going to look at the temporary nature of our spiritual gifts, and you can kind of read the rest. And hopefully I'll cover all those. I know in the early service I missed one, and nobody said a word. They didn't even say something. They didn't make me stop. They didn't make me go back. They're like, "Okay, we'll just go right on." So nobody has ever said a word when a preacher misses a point and we get out early, amen? Because we still need to eat around lunch. So, okay, let's look at the first one. The temporary nature of our spiritual gifts. We're Methodist, and we believe in the spiritual gifts that God has imparted to his church. There are many gifts that are even printed and written in God's word. There are like the gifts of speaking in tongues. There's the gift of prophecy. But there's also these gifts, these other kind of gifts. There's the gift of mercy. There's the gift of administration. And they go through these gifts. For example, how many people in this room would say they have the gift of administration? How many people would have that? That's perfect. That's perfect. Because let's just say we had 100 people here this morning. Do we need more than about 2 or 3 people in charge? No, it would never work. If we had 90 people with the gift of administration here, we'd never get anything done. No, but those folks who have the gift of administration, what do? They think in organized terms, right? How do we do? 1, 2, 3, 4. Gary, don't think like that. I've tried. I even went to school and got another degree. I still can't think in order. It's hard for me to do that. But people who have the gift of administration, it's just normal, everyday stuff. They just put things in order. But folks like me, we don't do that. But there's this temporary nature. Even though we have these spiritual gifts that God has given us, we only have them until we die. Think about that. That's it. Once we're gone, we don't have them anymore. That's just the way it is. You know, one of the things that grieves me a little bit is I grew up learning how to be an electrician, but none of my children know how to do that. I always wanted to teach them, but I had girls. You know how hard it is to teach a girl to cut a pair of pliers or to cut a piece of wire? I mean, I can do it, but can they go out on a job site and can they climb on top of a ladder? Can they get up in the attic when it's 115 degrees? They typically don't always do that. And if you want to learn, catch me after church and I will teach you how to do it. But for my kids, no, they didn't want to do that. This just wasn't. But it's just this temporary nature that after I pass away, no one else in my family will have the ability to wire houses. It's a gift that's gone. Well, our spiritual gifts are the same way. Once we pass away, they're gone. So I tell you that because you need to use it now. You know, the Bible doesn't have that word tomorrow in it. If you go look in there, it's not there. You know, God didn't say, well, tomorrow we're going to do this. No, because which day do we get? Today. We know what yesterday looks like. We know tomorrow's coming, but we don't get it. We only get today. It's important that you remember you only get one day at a time. And it's the same way with the gifts and the blessings that God has given us. We only have today to make use of that. You know, you might have come across someone at church at some point saying, you know, I think we're going to take a mission trip somewhere. And maybe your mind goes, you know, I might should do that sometime. Today would be the day. Don't put it off. Let God use you. Let God use your spiritual gifts in a way that you can make a radical difference in this world that we live in. And not only are our gifts temporary, but they're driven, mainly driven by God's love. And by the love that God has for each of us. Amen? We love because God loved us. God looked at me and said, I love you. I don't know that I would have done that. I don't know that I would have looked at Gary and said, oh, yeah, that's somebody. We got to love that person. No, I think I would have looked at him and gone, boy, that dude really needs a lot of love. No, but that's not how God looks at me. God looked at me perfect, even though I wasn't. And even though I'm not, he looked at me and said, he loves me. And I've never forgotten how powerful it is that God loves us. You know, I even remember the song we sang in eighth grade. It starts like this. It goes, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we'll do, 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 do. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? It's about the love that God has placed within us. Now, so this morning I have another picture I want to put up of the tools that you can see there. And I brought some tools with me because, you know, just like our spiritual gifts, we have this bag of tools that God uses, that God has placed in our way. And so this morning, I brought a few tools. If you're going to wire a new house, because that's the houses I like to wire. I don't like to wire the old ones that are all, you know, they're nasty and stuff. I like to go in a brand new house. You can't wire a new house without a drill. And, you know, there's no way you can do that. You can't drill the wood without a drill. This is not exactly the drill that we used to use. We had these big Milwaukee drills with these big bits, and we would drill. You know, I got to thinking this drill reminds me of how every now and then God needs to drill down in my life and clean out some things and straighten up some things and make things a lot better than they are now. And for me, that's called confession. Makes sense? When God begins to drill down in our lives, Well, so I brought my drill. Let's see what else I got in my bag here. You can't wire a house without a... here we go. Can't wire a house without one of these. Now, do you know what you do when you wire a new house with this? You only do one thing. When you wire a new house, you have to nail up these blue boxes everywhere. One is a switch, one is a plug, one might be two switches. And use this thing to knock the little things out of the box. That's it. You don't use it for nothing else. I remember when I learned how to do that. You just go, burp, knock the little thing out. That's it. You can throw it back, but you got to have it because you can't get it out any other way. You can try, trust me. But them little blue boxes that have the little things on the back, you can't get them out without a screwdriver. Let's see what else I got in my box here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you got to have some of these. See what those are? Side cutters. Electrician, especially residential electrician, you can't do anything without a pair of these. And you can tell these work because watch. See that right there? Takes years to get that. But it also takes years to learn how to use them and how to strip the wire. I even brought some wire because not only can you wire a house with a pair of these clines or these side cutters, but you can also strip the wire with these. You can just take it like this and take it like this and pull it right apart. Now, you got to have a lot of experience and a lot of know-how, but eventually you get good at it. Oh, you don't think I can do it? Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Just like that. I didn't know I'd get... let's see. So you got to do that, and then you got to have a... You got to be able to do this, too. Let's see. Wait a minute. Huh? Oh, yeah, I know. You got to be able to strip it back, too. Yeah, I know. Let's see. What? Oh, wait a minute. We got one other thing you got to have. Got to have one of those, right? What do we do with this? Measure. How high is the plug off the ground? 12 inches. How high is the plug off the ground? 44 inches if it's in the kitchen. 52 inches if it's a switch. It's never changed. I did that when I was a kid. But you got to have a measuring tape because, you know, every now and then we need to be measured. I think every now and then we need someone to go, hey, you're doing all right. Keep doing it. I think we do need to be measured up every now and then and have things done. Let's see, a couple of other things. You also have to have this if you're going to wire a house. Any idea what this is? Yes, it's our apron where you got all the wire nuts and all the screws and everything. You got to have that with you. And then I always have one of these just in case so you don't get electrocuted. Yeah. You know what's the easiest way not to get electrocuted? Turn the power off. But if you're an electrician, you're like, I don't need to turn that off. If Cade was here, he'd tell you the same thing. Oh, I'll just figure out which one is hot. But you got to have these tools. And God gives us these tools, and they're called spiritual gifts. And no matter what tool you have, you can use it. And God will take your tool and take your gift and use it to change this world. Did you know that? He will if you just allow him to do that. All right. Let's see. Number two. Second one. Complete versus incomplete. When we look at this particular scripture in verse 9, one of the things that's really cool about it is the Greek word for completeness. The Greek word, it literally refers to God. And it's this idea that God, and this is us, complete versus incomplete. And when we use our spiritual gifts and when God uses us and when we begin to do that, this completeness happens. It comes only from God. He takes that which is not perfect and he begins to make that which is perfect. And the scripture reminds us that he is the one who does the completeness. Because we are limited by our understanding. We don't quite get everything. You don't believe me. I know, I can tell. But you know, when I get to heaven, there's a few things I want to know. One, I want to know how lightning works. I've seen it. I've seen its effects. But I'm not sure exactly, because I've heard it goes from the bottom up. I've heard it comes from the top down. And I'm sure some of you are smarter than I am, and you know better about it than I do. But my little bitty brain just can't quite figure that out. I just know if you ever get close to it, you never forget it. We had a Bible study when I was the pastor in Littlefield, and we were sitting in one of the classrooms. And y'all know Bear Mills, right? His daughter was in our Bible study. We're sitting there. And there's a bell tower at the Methodist Church in Littlefield, and it's about from here to that guy. And lightning hit it while we were sitting there, and everything went white. And all I could say was, I'm still alive. Let's pray and go home. I ain't never forgot it. That's as close as I've ever been to lightning, and that's close enough. Hopefully you ain't never been hit by lightning. But I want to know about light. I want to know about wind. How does it happen? Yeah, y'all know. Y'all been studying. Here's the other thing that I want to know about. Has anybody ever had a fried egg? You ever had a fried egg? If you leave that fried egg on that plate, the yellow stuff, and you just let it sit there, just give it a couple of days. That glue is stronger than any glue known to mankind. Have you ever noticed that? Gorilla glue ain't got nothing on a fried egg. I want to know why that's the case. What kind of glue is in the egg? I don't know. Maybe that's why eggs cost so much. I don't have any idea. But we understand that there's this complete versus incomplete. Thirdly, we have to be reminded that God's love is the eternal constant. It never goes away. We may be in a place in our life where we feel like we may be far from God. We may be in a place where we don't feel God's love, but it is always, always, always there. It never goes away. Romans 8:38, Paul declares that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Nothing. He didn't say some things. He didn't say a few things. He said nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then Jesus taught us that the greatest commandment was to love God and love who else? Our neighbors. And who is your neighbor? We are called to love because it is the eternal constant that God continues to love us no matter what. Next picture, number four. We have to be reminded that we are living in this eternal love and that God has come and lived in our lives and the Holy Spirit flows through us. And it's this flowing through us that we are allowed to love the world around us. We are called to be mirrors of God. We are called to reflect back to the world that love which God has given to each of us. We are not called to absorb the light. We are called to reflect the light. In fact, years ago, one of the youth groups I was working in, we took those little mirrors like you have in your purse? We took it and put it on our head right here. Because we were reminded that we were to reflect God's love every single day. And one of the youth things we did, we had that on there just to remind people that we are constantly called to reflect back to the world that which God has given us. We are called to do that. And finally, just a few action steps, I think, is next. Did I get that right? Just a few action steps. A few things you can think about. Number one, make sure that you prioritize your relationships. Everybody needs to be encouraged to invest time with the folks around them, and they're called to share the love of Christ to the world around us. I've served in the church some 35 years, and, I always thought there would be a time when someone would come in the side door and say, I just gave my life to Jesus. I want to be a Christian. But in 35 years, it never happened. I was standing in the front of the church thinking, here comes somebody. And I look outside, nobody comes in. Do you know why? It just doesn't happen like that, does it? How does it happen? It happens in relationships. It happens when one person invites another person to come and to taste and to see. That's how it happens. And how do you prioritize those relationships in your life? And how do you invite other people to come and be part of your life and the life that Christ has given you? Secondly, what does it look like in your life to leave a legacy behind? What does that look like? When I turned 40, I thought, well, life's half over. Hopefully I'll make it to 80, so I'm halfway done. And then I turned 50, and then I turned 60. And actually, next week I turn again. And I noticed something. I ain't getting no younger. I keep trying to think. I look in the mirror and I go, man, that's one of my friends from high school. God, he looks old. And you know what? I think they're doing the same thing to me. But what's the world going to look like that I leave behind? What is my legacy going to be? What is your legacy going to be? I've always said I want on my tombstone, he was generous. What is your legacy? What is God calling you to do today to make a difference in the world around you? And then don't forget that we are reminded that God's love is eternal. That it was there before we were born and it'll be there after we're gone. But this love supersedes and permeates everything that God touches. And we are called to reflect that love to the world around us. And when we do that, the world changes. Now, you're going to leave here this morning and you're going to go back outside and it's going to look a whole lot like it did when you came in this morning. But hopefully what happens in here is what changes, is that we recognize that this love of God can be shared to the world around us. And all it does, all we have to do is take a step, just one simple step, and say, Lord, let me, what can I do? Who can I invite? Who can I encourage? You never know what difference you can make. You know, some people think, well, one person can't make a difference, but they can. And what happens if all of us together get together? We can make a huge difference just in this neighborhood, just in this area. What is God calling you to do here and now and today? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts and shed to the world around us is what we're called to do. As we finish up this morning, we're going to take communion. And I want to ask you to think about two things as you come to receive communion. Number one, if you don't know what your gifts are, you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, begin to ask God, Lord, what gifts do I have? For me, I know two gifts I have. Maybe there's some more. But I have the gift of mercy. If you're in ministry, you typically do. You understand people's feelings and hurts, and you can understand that. And I also have the gift of leadership that I've began to understand about. But what is God's gift in your life? Ask God what that is. May God reveal that to you as you come to take communion. And secondly, ask God, what do you want me to do with that? It's one thing to know about something, but it's something else to put that into practice. Can you think about those two things as we receive communion this morning? And as you pray for God to touch your life during our service of communion, God, what is the gift I have, and how can I use that gift? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, as we begin to receive communion this morning, as we begin to come into your presence, Father, may this be a time where we experience anew the risen Savior, where we experience anew the love that you have for each of us. And so, Father, come and speak to our hearts this morning as we receive communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we receive communion this morning, in the Methodist Church, we take communion by inviting all folks to come. All who accept Christ as your Savior, the communion table is open. Come and receive the body and the blood of Christ. We are open to all folks. Everybody, come. On the night in which Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. For this body represents a new covenant between God and God's people. How incredibly powerful is it that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he was born in Bethlehem, the city of bread. How incredible is that? And he encourages you to come and receive bread this morning, that it may be sustenance for your soul and nurture for your soul. And he said to the disciples, the body of Christ broken for you, that you might have life. After he broke the bread, he took the cup. And he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and drink from this, all of you. And he passed it around the table and he said, this cup is a reminder that my blood has been poured out and shed for each of you. That I love you like you've never imagined. The greatest gift of love that Christ could give us was his life and death and resurrection. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ poured out for you. The body and blood. Let's pray. Eternal God, as we come to receive communion this morning, may these gifts of juice and bread be for us the body and the blood of Christ. May they be a means of grace whereby we experience anew the risen Savior in our lives, where we experience anew the touch of the Holy Spirit. Come and be with us this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We ask those who are to serve if you'll come forward at this time, and then we'll... go from there. Receive communion. The table is open. And as you come, may God speak into your lives this morning. May He speak to you about the gift that you've been given and what He wants you to do with it. Now may you receive this morning's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace as you go from this place. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And together all God's people said, amen. Amen. May you go in peace. Have a great week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.